Let's begin this meeting. We have some items on the agenda that three of us can act on. And so if Kathleen, if you could reflect that three of us are here at the present time, and hopefully Steve will show up shortly. Under public comments, the public is invited at this time to make any comments, and I don't think we have public here, so we will continue on that. We have the minutes of June 21st, 2016. Unless there's any changes, I would accept a motion to approve those.
I'll make a motion to accept the minutes as written.
Second.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Okay, thank you. We can municipality's annual reports. You have all of those in the item in the agenda packet. Are there any representatives from the city and the school district to make a presentation on those items? City?
Yes. Sherry Russell, Deputy Chief Financial Officer. I can go through it real quick. I'll actually try to do it a little slower so Steve has time to show up.
Please do.
So our packet's pretty large. The first 26 pages I just included the entire thing that we sent to the Department of Taxation. So the first 26 pages are the schedule of indebtedness and the capital improvement plan for both the redevelopment agency and Carson City. The CIP amounts for 2017 are actually the 2017 budgeted items, so they tie exactly to the budget. The 2018 through 21 CIP is more of a wish list. It's what the city wants to do, but they have not been approved yet.
Yes, right.
So I'm going to talk a little bit more in detail about the debt management policy. So that is actually a numbered document. If you go back to the first page of it, past those 26 pages, page 5 is a summary of all of our debt. So as of June 30th, 2016, the city has $148,774,053 of general obligation revenue-supported debt and $3,482,700 of general obligation medium-term debt outstanding. The city also has $15,970,500 of highway revenue bonds outstanding, which are secured by specific pledged revenue, that's the gas tax. And then it also has $969,400 of installment purchase debt out there, and that's for the purchase of the brick. Neither of these are general obligation debts. We are in the process of doing an energy efficiency project that will be fully funded by savings. Depending on the financing available, the project may be anywhere from $3 million to $5.1 million, so it's not part of this debt policy. Just too unsure right now. The city currently has no outstanding general obligation debt paid by the levy of property taxes. So I'm going to go through each one of our debt quadrants real quick here. So the sewer fund, we currently have $22 million, a little more than that, outstanding in the sewer fund, supported strictly by sewer revenues. Currently, there's an additional $27 million, about $900,000, of state revolving fund debt, which has been authorized but is not yet issued. That's for the construction and upgrades of the water resource recovery facility. There's an additional $6 million anticipated to be needed in 2020 to complete that project. Coverage is budgeted for fiscal year 17 to be 1.59 times. That is based on the highest possible payment throughout the whole debt life, which is 2020. The actual coverage in fiscal 17 of the debt service is 1.99. So the water fund, the city is currently has $59,800,000 in outstanding water fund supported general obligation debt secured by, again, water revenues. Currently, there's additional $831,000 in state revolving fund debt that has been authorized but not yet issued, and that's for the construction of the East-West Transmission Main. An additional $5 million is anticipated to be needed in 2017 to complete this project. Coverage budgeted for 2017 is 1.08 times, pardon, based on the highest payment in 2022. Actual coverage, again, is 1.17. Stormwater, the city currently has $4,400,000 of outstanding stormwater drainage fund supported debt, again 100% secured by stormwater revenues. Currently there is an additional $1.2 million about of state revolving fund debt that has been authorized but not yet issued for capital needs in the stormwater fund, and that one has a coverage of 1.04. That's based on 2019. However, the actual budgeted 2017 coverage is 1.11. So room tax revenue, page 18, if you're following along. The city currently has $2,495,000 of outstanding general obligation debt secured by room taxes. Coverage in budgeted for fiscal 17 is 3.85 times. Consolidated tax revenue. $30,621,000 of outstanding general obligation debt secured by that 15% of consolidated tax revenue. Coverage for budgeted for 17 is 1.31 times. Quality of life, that's the 1/4 cent voter approved tax. The city currently has $7,018,000 of outstanding general obligation debt. That's only 40% pledged of that quarter cent. Coverage of that is 1.65%. V&T sales tax bonds, currently there's $8,400,000 outstanding, secured by 1/8 cent, which was board approved. And the coverage on that for budgeted for fiscal 17 is 1.18 times. Last but not least, the infrastructure sales tax, $13.6 million outstanding, and this is secured by the 1/8 cent board-approved tax, and its coverage is budgeted for fiscal 17 of 1.59 times. There is an additional $4,585,000 anticipated to be issued fiscal year 18 to complete the current projects in that infrastructure plan. Do you have any questions? Everything is over 0.11 coverage, which is good news for us.
The city on that. Good to see you, Steve. Is there anyone from the school district to comment on your part? Please identify yourself, please.
Hi, Andrew Fueling for the record. I'm the CFO for the Carson City School District. I think anything that, everything you see within the policy is essentially correct up through June 30th, the end of the fiscal year. Anything of interest within that is likely to be discussed in our two topics here, looking at our $15 million and $7 million issuances. So, if you're satisfied with that, when we get to that point, we'll talk some more.
Questions or comments? Okay, let's, for the record, let's say that you mentioned the redevelopment authority, so that's done. The subconservancy district submitted a report indicated no bonds proposed. The commission for V&T Railroad, same way, no bonds proposed. The Carson City Airport Authority, no bonds proposed. And the Convention and Tourism Authority, likewise, no bonds proposed. So I think that covers the report. So keep those for reference if you want. Okay, let's get back to item D, the...
Mr. Chair, did you want to take action on item I?
Oh, yeah, we need a motion to accept the reports, annual reports as submitted.
Accepting the school district discount to or relating to that. Your report, we can accept really...
Well, we can accept the report, and then they'll cover it more depth.
Right, I would move to accept the reports from the Carson Water Subconservancy District, Nevada Commission to Reconstruct the V&T Railway, Carson City Airport, Carson City School District, and Carson City Convention and Visitors Bureau.
Second by Steve. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Okay, thank you. Okay, let's go back to item D, appoint Maude Norrell to fill citizen-at-large position on the commission pursuant to provisions of NRS 350.0115 sub 3. The school district representative and the city representative constitutes a quorum to make that appointment. So I will entertain a motion from one of you two to take that action.
Mr. Chairman, I would move to appoint Maude Norrell to fill a citizen-at-large position on the commission pursuant to the provisions of NRS 350.0115, subsection 3.
And I'll second that.
Okay, and all two in favor?
Aye.
Okay, thank you. Okay, Maude, congratulations or condolences, as the case may be. Now we can swear at her by Sue Merriweather. Go for it.
Go for it.
I, Maude Norrell,
do solemnly swear.
Do solemnly swear.
That I will support, protect, and defend.
That I will support, protect, and defend.
The Constitution and government of the United States.
The Constitution and government of the United States.
And the Constitution and government of the state of Nevada.
And the Constitution and government of the state of Nevada.
Against all enemies, whether domestic or foreign.
Against all enemies, whether domestic or foreign.
And that I will bear true faith, allegiance, and loyalty to the same.
And that I will bear true faith, allegiance, and loyalty to the same.
Any ordinance, resolution, or law of any state notwithstanding.
Any ordinance, resolution, or law of any state notwithstanding.
And that I will well and faithfully perform.
And that I will well and faithfully perform.
All the duties of the Office of Debt Management Commission.
All the duties of the Office of the Carson City Debt Management Commission.
On which I am about to enter, so help me God.
On which I am about to enter, so help me God.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
Go ahead and sign that.
Oh, okay.
Do you have a pen? Let me get that to Kathy.
Okay. Somebody even spelled my name right.
All right. Let me sign it here. And then I'll give it to her. And then I get you to take your seat. There
right.
You go. Thank you.
Thanks, Sue. Good to see you. Okay, so in addition to our annual meeting items, we have two special items on G and H. Oh, okay. F. Election of Commission Chair and Vice Chair. I'm not even sure who the Vice Chair is.
I am.
Okay. Mark?
I make a motion. It remains the same.
That's second.
Third.
Okay. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. All right. Item G, discussion possible action of a resolution concerning the submission of to the Debt Management Commission by the Carson City School District proposed issue GO bonds in the maximum aggregate principal amount of $15 million. So please come forward and make your presentation.
Sure. Thank you. For the record, Marty Johnson with JNA Consulting. We're the financial advisors for the school district. It's been a while since we did a new money transaction for the school district under their rollover authorization. So what I'd like to do is quickly go through with you the criteria. Because with it being rollover bonds, there are a couple of additional criteria that you will be looking at as we go through this approval process. Hopefully all of you have a copy of the packet that we put together for this. We'll run through the debt limit impact, the property tax rate impact, and then the specific tests that are required under the authorization of the rollover. We are planning to issue up to $15 million of bonds. That might be done in one or more series of bonds, depending on the timing of the projects and the cost of those projects. As you probably know, the approval of the Debt Management Commission is good for 36 months. So the district will have 36 months to issue all or some of these bonds. And if we don't issue all of them, then, you know, we'll just have to come back at the end of the 3 years. So it helps to be able to authorize an amount and then look at going forward. The district hasn't identified specific projects yet, but they do have a number of projects or types of projects that we've listed here in the project summary. If you have questions about those, we can have Andrew Fueling, the CFO, address any of those questions. So in terms of the criteria, if we start on page 7, which is Exhibit 3, the first thing we'll talk about is the debt limit. And again, as you remember, every entity within Carson City has its own debt limit. And so the school district has theirs that is based on 15% of the assessed valuation. If you'll look at page 8, you'll see that we have listed the outstanding as well as the proposed bonds. This does reflect a refunding that we very recently did. In fact, we just closed it 2 weeks ago for the school district that saved them a fair amount of money. So you can see there's $47 million in change outstanding, $15 million proposed for a total of $62 million. We do list the $7 million that's proposed as the installment purchase agreement that we'll talk about in a few more minutes. But again, those are not considered debt and do not count against the debt limit. And so if you look on page 9, you can see that based on the 2017 assessed valuation, even after issuing the $15 million of debt, assuming we do it all at once up front, we would still have over $160 million of debt limit available. So clearly, we're able to handle this within our debt limit. The next part of the criteria talks about the tax rate and its impact on not only the $3.64 limit, but also its impact on other governments. But additionally, in a rollover question, we have to show that we can pay the outstanding bonds and the proposed bonds from the revenues of the 43 cents that the school district levies to repay bonds. And that money can't go for operations. It can only be used to repay bonds. And to the extent that we've already covered debt service and funded the reserve that we'll talk about here in a minute, we can use any funds available over and above that for pay-as-you-go projects. And I'll show you where we've actually done that here in a second. So on page 11, we show the district's outstanding debt service as well as the payments on the proposed $15 million. Again, assuming that we issue them all up front, you know, in one series, we've estimated here an interest rate in the neighborhood of 3.5%. If we were issuing these bonds today, we'd be under 3%. And we do plan on issuing these right after the first of the year. So you can see there the annual debt service. And then if you'll flip over two more pages, just because of the way the table's laid out, you'll see the estimated property tax revenues based on a 2% growth rate for the next 3 or 4 years, at which point it goes flat. But you can see there the revenues, the estimated debt service, and the fact that in each year we are able to cover the debt service from those revenues. And that, of course, excludes any available balance that exists in the district's debt service fund. So with this, we are able to repay the bonds from the revenues of the 43 cents. These debt service numbers do include the impact of the refunding that we just recently did. We also are looking at the idea of it including additional maturities on a refunding when we sell the $15 million. So if rates can hold out, we might be able to lower the debt service even below what we show here. And then the second part of this is the reserve account. Under the terms of the rollover authorization, the district, when we issue bonds, has to demonstrate or has to show that there is a balance in the district's debt service account reserved for the bonds equal to the lesser of 50% of the next year's debt service or 10% of the outstanding proposed par amount of the bonds. And so if you'll turn to page 15, You'll see the 2015 audit and then the 2016 estimated and the 17 budgeted information for the district's debt service fund. You can see that at the end of 17, we expect to have $2.9 million in that fund. And then if you look down below, you'll see based on the 10% calculation or the 50% of next year's debt service, the requirement would be to have $2.7 million in there. Now, you do see in the transfers out, there's a $1 million transfer out in 2017. That is a transfer for pay-as-you-go projects, as I referred to earlier. So with that balance being in excess of the minimum required reserve and being able to cover all of the debt service, they are able to transfer that money out and use that for capital projects. But we cannot take money out that would result in a balance that is less than that minimum required reserve. So that is the other criteria that is part of the rollover question that you, in addition to the school board, have to approve. Since we'll be able to pay this within the 43-cent tax rate that the district is currently levying, this shouldn't have any adverse impact on any other overlapping local government because we're not changing the tax rate. We're just keeping it at that 43-cent limit. And again, as you just went through in your well, a couple of items ago, with all of the other overlapping entities' debt management policies and talked about what plans there were, there are no plans for any additional general obligation bonds that would require a tax rate within Carson City. That is the extent of our presentation. If you have any questions, I or AJ, the CFO, and we also have Ryan Henry, bond counsel here, we'd certainly be happy to address them.
On the rollover mechanism, the statutes do allow that to go on. Oops, I thought I did. On the rollover, the statutes do allow that to continue as long as you meet those parameters.
In terms of the authorization to issue the bonds?
Right.
Yes, the voters approved a question in 2010 that had authority until 2020. The legislature in the last session added 10 years to that. So that will expire under the terms of that legislation in 2030.
Okay.
But again, we still have to meet those two tests to issue.
Right. Any questions, comments?
Of course I have questions, Mr. Chairman. Hi, this is Maude. Hi, Marty.
How are you, Maude? I'd be disappointed if you didn't have questions.
Thank you for doing the estimated tax revenue, estimated debt service. I notice the coverage gets a little skinny in 18 and 19. I'm looking at page 13 for those of you who are following along with the. What was the 3 cents bringing in like 15, 16, 14? How has that revenue been growing? Or because it looks like you're doing about a 2% forecast for a while.
Right. My recollection in, remember the wonderful abatement caps come into play on this.
All too well.
Yes. My recollection, AJ, 1.7% is the increase for 17, right? I believe that's the budgeted increase in revenues is 1.7%, but that's based on an abatement cap of I want to say 0.2. Yeah, 0.2%. Whereas inflation, at least this year, appears to be running closer to 1%, which means the abatement cap would be 2% next year. And so we would get that plus whatever new construction there is. But it's been Carson City, at least from my experience around the state, was a little bit slower in going down and has been a little bit slower in coming back up. But 2%, seems reasonable with what's going on in the area. And also remember that in addition to these property tax revenues, we do have the balance in the debt service fund. Even if we take out the full million for the pay-as-you-go projects, there's still $200,000 in change that can be used without going down below that 50% reserve requirement.
Okay, thanks. And Mr. Chair, I know there's some restrictions on what we're supposed to ask. I'm not asking what the projects are. I'm just asking if the improvements are going to last longer than the bonds.
AJ, maybe you could. The answer will be yes.
Is it okay to discuss kind of?
Yeah.
So thank you. Andrew Feeling for the record. So the primary projects the district is looking at, and these have not been, we're still kind of vetting these through a facilities master planning committee. We're creating a facilities master plan at the moment. The primary ones are an expansion onto Fremont Elementary School, which would be all new capacity space. Mark Twain Elementary and Fremont are actually the same footprint facility. And so that same expansion onto Fremont would go on to Mark Twain, but it would be there we would be getting rid of portable buildings, so it'd be a little more of a wash. We'd add a little capacity, but not too much. We would be finishing up, I think 2 or 3 years ago, we had put a new kind of office building onto Pioneer High School on Corbett Street. And so that, basically the building will be finished. There's several portables there we'll be getting rid of. To put brick and mortar there, kind of purely for curricular, that we're going to be adding a science, technology, engineering lab at Carson Middle School. And then there's other projects, smaller projects beyond that, but those, the large chunk of what that money is, that's what we're looking at.
So mostly new brick and mortar that had better last more than 20 or 30 years. Okay, thanks.
Yeah, no problem.
Any other questions? Okay, I will entertain a motion to pass the resolution that you have in front of you, and that is a resolution concerning the financing of the school improvements, directing the Director of Fiscal Services to notify Carson City Debt Management Commission. And this wording is legalese, doesn't make sense to me, but Debt Management Commission of the District's proposal to issue general obligation bonds, authorizing the superintendent or director of fiscal services to arrange for the sale of bonds, providing certain details in connection therewith, and providing effective date hereof.
I so move.
Second.
Mr. Reynolds has a second.
And that, can we back up? That's the language for the sale resolution and not for this item.
I believe what you read, Mr. Chairman, is the title or the language from the resolution that school board adopted, asking this body to meet and consider
the
proposal.
Where is the resolution for us? Okay, a resolution concerning the submission to the Carson City Debt Management Commission by the Carson City School District of a proposal to issue general obligation bonds the amount of $15 million concerning action taken thereof by the commission and approving certain details in connection therewith.
So moved.
Second. Mr. Reynolds, second. All those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
And we do have a supermajority to make that meet that state requirement. Okay, item H, discussion possible action of a resolution concerning the submission to the Carson City Debt Management Commission by Carson City School District of a proposal to execute and deliver an installment purchase agreement in the maximum aggregate principal of $7 million concerning action taken thereof by the commission. Go ahead.
Again, Marty Johnson with J&A Consulting, financial advisor for the school district. This is a much different animal, as you saw at your last meeting in the city's proposal. This also is an energy financing for energy conservation projects. And as I'm sure you heard last meeting, all of the criteria we just talked about on the $15 million don't apply to this. The legislature, in their infinite wisdom, said you guys need to approve these, but give you no criteria by which to judge those. We gave you a bunch of information about the debt limit and the tax rate that, again, don't apply here. But let me talk about pages 6 and 7. And, again, as with the city project, this is for energy conservation projects. We anticipate being able to make the payments out of the savings.
The district is currently working with their energy contractor on an energy grade audit, or a financial grade audit of the energy measures that we can do. Anticipate having that 60% level done. We anticipate there will be somewhere between $5 and $7 million of projects that can get done. But again, the amount that we actually issue is going to be based on what we can afford out of the savings. However, for your purposes, and for purposes of when we actually go to sell these bonds to somebody, it is a obligation of the general fund of the school district. There will be a non-appropriation clause, but we're not seeing we're only paying you out of the savings. We will make the payment out of the general fund, which is where those utility savings will be. So if you look at page 7, you can see the annual debt service for a $7 million deal at approximately 4% interest rate. Again, is an installment purchase agreement, not a general obligation, slightly worse credit than the other bonds, hence the difference in the interest rate. On the page before, page 6, we have shown you the general fund of the school district for the last couple of years. And you can see, again, that generally, and again, recognize that, budgets and actual results are a little bit different, but you can see down there at the bottom that in addition to a fund balance that has been, running $10 million or more, the district typically has a surplus, in 2016 that's currently estimated at $500,000, which is approximately the amount of these payments that we would be making. But again, when we get into this project and actually go to do it, we will be sizing and structuring these bonds against the guaranteed energy savings from those projects. So if you have any questions, again, the same groups here, we're happy to answer them to the best of our ability.
Marty, on the energy audit bond that we passed for the city, there was a state subsidy available on the interest rate. Is that similar on this transaction?
My recollection, and my coworker is actually working on that one. My recollection is that I don't remember if it's a state subsidy per se. Is I believe on the city's project, they're looking at using what we call qualified energy conservation bonds, and there is a federal subsidy attached to those. We are not anticipating using that. Limited amount available, and I think, as Nancy would tell you, it's very difficult to work with.
This is not the first energy financing that you've done, is it?
For the school district, we did some bonds for the solar, but we did that as what we call medium-term financing, so that didn't need to come to this body for approval.
Okay.
But, yes, we did do the solar. We did that in two pieces. One piece of that was structured to be able to be repaid by the rebates that we received from Nevada Energy. And then the other piece was structured with a longer repayment term to be covered by the savings that we've done. But this will be the first type under a performance contract of financing that the school district has done. Okay. But these have been done by other entities around the state, and a number of them very, very successfully. Okay. We've had projects within the state that have been written up in national publications because of how they turned out.
Good. Any questions?
And again, the same question. I assume most of these things are going to last 20 years, or you can say, well, there's some short-term ones that
yes.
are covered by the short.
Yes. On average, the financing can't exceed the useful life of the project.
So the resolution we adopt is on page 1 in here. Okay, the resolution we're considering is a resolution concerning the submission to Debt Management Commission of proposal by Carson City School District to execute and deliver an installment purchase agreement in the maximum aggregate principal amount of $7 million concerning action taken thereof by the Commission and approving certain details in connection therewith.
So moved.
I'll second.
Okay, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Thank you all for being here to make the presentation.
I just, Marty, I noticed that the principal started repaying immediately, which is nice to see. There are some things in this packet where it's like 3 years out or 5 years out, and that gets a little scary.
Okay, we have item J, discussion specific percentage of limitation total ad valorem tax rate as required by 350.0155. That has the language is in your packet, and we have set heretofore a 10% limit since at least I've been on the commission. We can go up to not less than 75%.
Is there not any reason to not retain the 10% at this time?
I think that if we went much further, higher than that, we're starting to, the districts are starting to buck up against that maximum. You know, hopefully we'll never have to have an emergency in which we would have to dip into that, but that's basically what it's for, is any unforeseen conditions that might result where bonds would be required to meet whatever needs. So I will entertain a motion for something. The motion would be to specify a 10% limit for purposes of item D, paragraph D, subsection 1 of 350.015.
I'll make a motion to the commission to specify a 10% of limitation of the total at volume tax levy and establish priorities. Is it among essential and non-essential facilities and services of NRS 350-015. Is that what we need?
Mm-hmm.
It's combining two items. It's J and K.
Well, we take those separately, but
I'm not. The motion just covered both of them.
Oh, did I cover both?
Yeah. Well, then, if you want to do it that way, then identify the essential services of priorities of public safety, education, and health. Would you agree to that amendment
yes,
to your motion?
Yes, that's fine.
Okay.
I'll second both parts of the motion.
Okay. Then all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Thank you. And we have a public comment section. The public is invited at this time to comment on any matter that is not specifically included on the agenda as an action item. No action may be taken as a matter raised under this item for the agenda.
Mr. Chair, item L is...
Well, I'll get that.
I'm sorry. Okay.
Seeing none, we'll take item L, designation of February 2017 meeting, date and time. Normally we meet on a Tuesday at 1:30-ish. And normally it's been the second or third Tuesday. Kathleen, do you have a... You have a suggested date?
The Tuesdays in February 2017 are 7, 14, 21, and 28.
Yeah, Valentine's Day. Won't take too much away from your sweetheart. Okay. Do I accept a motion for February 14th at 1:30? Anything to the contrary? Okay. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. All righty. That concludes our business of the day. Thank you all for coming.